Welcome to part two of our Women in Communications and Technology, CART.ca podcast.
Is once they get in there, particularly on the technology side of the world, they 50% or even greater than 50% will leave within the first 10 years of their career. Mm-hmm. That's less of an issue, and Cheryl can talk to it, about in the media and broadcast world, but certainly in the tech world, they don't stay. And they don't stay for the reasons that we just talked about. There aren't very many of them. They don't have a large network. There aren't mentors for them to access. It's lonely. There's no role models that they can emulate. So it becomes a catch-22, doesn't it? You know, you don't have them coming in the workforce, and then they are leaving early. How do you then solve the problem getting them into leadership positions?
Understood.
I'm sorry, I just interrupted you. But you'd mentioned before something that I just want to make sure that I don't let lie unelaborated on, and that was, you know, that we're not all the way to bright yet. We have some good results for producers and writing rooms right now, although still there are spots where we're really trying to work on that. But I would say that directors is an area where, you know, we're certainly not at gender parity, and we've got some specific initiatives and we're focusing on that right now. We've got, I call them a SWAT team because they haven't got a fancy name for themselves yet. We've got a SWAT team just really figuring out what are they going to do and what can we do. And we've got some interesting director shadowing programs going on mm-hmm. right now. And Private Eyes is one that I'm watching because my parents love that show. So great shout out to Private Eyes, great local show. But where we've got women doing shadowing for a director, and then they direct their own. So they get their own solo directing. So, I mean, they've given me a sheet here with a couple of examples, and we've already got a couple where we've got one shadowed, then directed, another one shadowed, then directed, another one shadowed and about to direct. So that's where you're building up the actual experience, because from questions that I've asked about what gets in the way, it's a big decision to give someone a directorship of a program, and there's budget and there's risk attached to it. And you want somebody who's tried and true. So how can you give someone the experience that you make them an easy person to choose for the job? So we're really focusing on that right now.
Most of the companies we've been talking about are private sector companies. I just want to spend a tiny moment on the public sector. The NFB launched its gender parity commitment in 2017. And last year, 2019, 46% of the NFB's workforce was directed by women. 44% of the NFB budget was allocated to work and creativity led by women. That's a pretty strong result. And the CBC seems to be recognized as a real gender parity leader. I think they've perhaps self-identified as the second highest percentage of women-led workforce at around 27% at the moment. Are the public sector players like the NFB and the CBC involved with WCT?
Yeah, they're certainly CBC are not so much on the NFB, and perhaps because they aren't as much of a broadcaster per se as much as they are more of a production facility. But CBC were an early sponsor, and we continue to talk with them. They're very involved in our gala, for example. And of course, they have a new CEO who is a woman, and they have a new executive vice president who is a woman, Barb Williams, and Cheryl knows Barb well as a friend, ex-chorus.
We all do.
That's right. We were with Barb yesterday, and we were talking about this issue from a public broadcaster versus a private broadcaster.
Oh, good. I'm glad, because I wanted to probe that. So well, tell me more about the challenges between public and private.
I'm not going to speak for Barb or for CBC, but she did certainly make the point that as a public broadcaster, using taxpayers' money, they have a different obligation or slightly different obligations as it relates to how they use that money and ensuring that the content that is produced and the leadership represents the population of Canada. And so they probably have slightly more stringent rules than maybe the private broadcasters have, but they're certainly taking it seriously. And so I'd offer you to go and talk to Barb.
Okay. You mentioned just now, well, you didn't just mention, you explained very nicely some of the different stakeholder considerations between public and private broadcasters. When it comes to gender parity and other aspects of media and technology, for example, telecom or new technologies or advertising, for example, are there different challenges there?
I will say that and I'm going to let Cheryl talk a little bit more about the influence of the U.S. broadcasters and the whole new world of media and the streaming services and how that's impacting the communication side of the house. In terms of the technology side of the house, what I think we're seeing as a association is the globalness of the world and how, if you look at a Microsoft or an IBM, how they are, Canada is a small piece of the puzzle, and how all of the global influences of these large companies certainly is impacting the conversations that we have with our sponsors and at a board level. And so that's probably one element. So we now, for example, have changed and expanded our mandate within WCT to make gender an element in the digital world and how important women are in the digital economy at large, not just within Canada, okay, because you can't separate Canada.
Okay. All right. Taking a quick scan of a book that was published last year, it's titled "There's No Crying in Newsrooms: What Women Have Learned About What It Takes to Lead." It's a book written by Kristen Gilger and Julia Wallace. I don't expect everybody to have read the book, but I was impressed by one claim in the book, in that it tells the story of women who began as fact checkers or editorial assistants that have ended up running multi-million-dollar media operations, but that's the good side of the book. The less good side of the book points to an assertion that there are fewer women leading major news media organizations today than 15 years ago, which I found disappointing and stunning. Again, does this resonate in a Canadian context? I hope not.
I'm still thinking about the title, No Crying in the Newsrooms. I've never cried in a newsroom, but I've cried at work, definitely.
I'm going to, and then maybe you can expand. I am going to talk about what we call the ICT workforce, information communications technology, and that's pretty broad. But we produce a report every year called Up the Numbers that counts, that actually looks at the numbers of women in different positions in different areas. And we just published our latest version. It came out in January. Sadly, the numbers have not changed in the last 20 years. If anything, they tend to go down and up. They're slightly up as it relates to leadership. So, women in the workforce at large. So the number of women in the ICT workforce in Canada, all women or all of the workforce, is just over 30%. That's up from about 27% last year, so it's a slight increase. The number of women in leadership, not so much. I think at 18, I don't have them in front of me specifically, but 18% in leadership roles. But those numbers haven't changed, and that's probably the sadder part of the conversation.
Cheryl, any comment?
I mentioned earlier that in our news team, we have a very talented group of leaders, and it's gender balanced in its current structure, which we're very proud of. And when I look at our overall organization, we're in good shape. 33% of our board of directors in its current iteration, which I wish that was at gender parity, but that's not bad. If we look at our VP and up senior leadership ranks, it's about 41% women. Again, there's room to go, but we're making progress. When we look at things like, we call it a CEO forum, it's like our top 100 leaders that have a special accountability for being aligned and in aligning people in the organization. It's about 51% women. Leadership roles, managerial roles overall is at gender parity. So I would say we've been making the progress. We've been sustaining the progress, and in areas like news where there have been recent changes, it's moving us in a more stable direction. So that's encouraging. But I really hear the point that it's not something you can ever get complacent about, because to the extent those barriers existed before, what's to say that they're not still there? So I always go back to really understanding the reasons why it took work to get there. And if you stopped working it, would it slide or would it change? Or is it just now the new normal? I would love to say that it's the new normal. I think there are pockets in every organization where there still is probably more awareness and understanding. And maybe it's pipeline, as Joanne said about, but I think it's probably not mostly pipeline, maybe in some areas of technology. But I think we're making good, honest, sustainable, for all the right reasons, of fully using a really talented workforce to represent all the people that are in it. I think we're making good progress. As you can tell, I'm an optimist and I live in hope, but I would love to get to a place where we didn't have to talk about it and work it quite so hard.
Yeah, the glass is half full to be optimistic. But I think the point that we talked about earlier, and that is keeping a focus on the numbers, is what is making a difference. When we were talking about numbers, I was recounting some of the other numbers. On the tech side of the house, we counted them, 4.5, one co-CEO, women CEOs of ICT companies in Canada, large ICT, the Brenham Top 100. That's 4.5, is, and that's an improvement over 2 years ago, in which there was 3. So, but you've got to keep the numbers in mind. And so, without that continual focus. So I applaud the CRTC for putting the initiative in place on the media side. We would benefit of having someone have that focus on the technology side of the house too.
You've mentioned awareness and focus on the numbers. I'm gonna share another thing that I don't know if I was shocked. Maybe it was a combination of being shocked and disappointed, especially in the times we live in this country. But I was looking at a report released last year by Women in View that looked at Indigenous women and women of color in Canadian media. And that report asserts that progress has been made for women in general. I guess, you know, I think we're hearing here that it's been significant in some areas and less so in other areas. But when it comes to Indigenous women's contributions to film and TV, that has actually dropped from insignificant to negligible, according to this report, in just about 3 years. Between 2014 and 2017, Indigenous women received only, I can't believe this number, 0.69%. of leadership contracts, so that would be like producers, directors, etc. Is the WCT engaged with this challenge, Indigenous women of color?
In fact, APTN, and you've interviewed Jean LaRose. They do have a new CEO.
Yes,
Monica Ill, who is just recently come on board. APTN is on the WCT board, is a very active partner. So We talked to them about their challenges. As a company, they certainly meet the numbers. They're very much a role model of what a broadcast company should be. So they have,
I think they're 51% female employees. They have the highest percentage of women-led work at 27.3%. I think we referenced the CBC as number 2. And as we know, led by an incredible woman.
Yes. Yeah. So have we talked specifically about the issue of having more women, Indigenous women broadcasters? Not with APTN, because they're doing it. Yeah, so yeah, but it is a conversation that we need to, that needs to happen through the entire broadcast sector.
Now, just a few days ago, March the 8th, we celebrated International Women's Day. I'm going to ask both of you, you know, what went through your thoughts or your reflections on International Women's Day as it pertains to your leadership, your both of you as leaders of women in telecommunications?
I'm going to start by saying I did count how many years I've been I've been doing this, and it is well over 40. And so, too, because before I took over as WCT, I was doing advocacy with CADA and started CANWIT, Canadian Women in Technology. So I've been in the advocacy, thought leadership, association management world for many years. But before that, I was working in at Bell in the on the technology side, and I was regularly the only woman in the boardroom. And often found myself in rallies of 200 and 300 people, and there would be a handful of women. So this has been my life, and I did say, I wonder how much longer I'll be doing this, and I'm sad to say that it will be a while longer.
I thought you were just about to announce your retirement. You scared me there for a second.
Don't do that. Cheryl, you, anything happened to you in your sort of reflections on March the 8th?
Well, that's so interesting. I found myself this year for the first time wondering if it was still necessary. And that was a new thought for me, because I do find that talking about gender equality and gender balance and is so embedded into the way we work and conversations that are happening. I wasn't even sure what it was I wanted or needed to say this year. So I'm reflecting on that and what that means. We have a couple of different information pieces we're sending out here at Chorus this week. But it's a more of a low-key kind of thing. Well, I think about that and what it means. So when we look at diversity, inclusion, and equality, belonging, whatever labels you want to put on it, we really look on it as our commitment, my commitment, our executive leadership team's commitment is to build a culture of inclusion here at Chorus so that we can build a diverse workforce, a diverse industry, and make content that reflects diversity, because all of those things reinforce each other. So that's the tone and the tenor of our conversation this week. It's to say, let's talk about our workforce. What are we doing? What progress are we making? Let's talk about the industry, organizations like WCT that we work with, and memberships you can take advantage of, and why we believe that that's an important thing. And then our content, and celebrate some of the great work we're doing, as we discussed a couple of minutes ago. But those aren't conversations we haven't already been having. It's nice to draw attention to it, but somebody asked me a question a couple of weeks ago about, you know, does it kind of, in a way, set up barriers when you create these days and these events that kind of put it in a box and say that this is just to talk about this month or this day? And I'm reflecting on that. I don't know.
Okay.
I recently, just to a personal experience, I was on a flight. And a woman was next to me halfway through, turned and said, I seem to recognize you. Do you have anything to do with WCT? And I'm not this.
You're famous.
Out of the blue. And I said, yes, in fact, I'm the executive director. She then proceeded to tell me how WCT had made a major difference in her life as it relates to her career, and how she found herself moving from Toronto to Ottawa, from changing cities, changing companies, and through reaching and connecting through the WCT network, got a new job, found a whole new circle of connections and friends in a community that she knew no one in.
Nice.
And I thought, that's what makes it all worthwhile. And I wouldn't stop doing it even if we had parity across the board. So,
but it's that day in, day out, this is how we do things. This is how we treat each other. This is how we make sure that great people can do great things and live wonderful lives, right? Like, that's what it's all about. And it's that day in and day out impact that you're making on lives that makes me excited.
So all of that, what you've just said the last 5 minutes, is the stuff of great celebration. I mean, you're to be commended for sure. And so speaking of celebration, women in communications
nice
and technology.
And you didn't script
this. All right. You know, you've got the event coming up, Sparks of Change to Close the Gender Gap. And that's your gala and your awards celebration. And that's coming up on May 7th. Mm-hmm. If I understand correctly, that's in Ottawa. It's at the Convention Center in Ottawa.
National Arts Center.
The National Arts Center. Okay. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about the award winners this year? And, you know, given present company, especially Chorus and the WCT Leader Award for their partnership with WCT and the mentorship program, which we've been talking a lot about mentorship here.
And the gala, which will bring together 400 of the top leaders across the country.
I've been to a few.
Have you? Will recognizes men, women, and companies who have contributed and who have demonstrated they've contributed to women's advancement in the digital economy. And so I will give a plug to the Company of the Year, which is a company by the name of SimCorp. And the Woman of the Year is Sabrina Jeremiah with Google Canada, two of our top. But as you mentioned, Chorus and Cheryl in particular are WCT leaders for their ongoing work many years and support of the mentorship program. There is one man. He's a man by the name of Mr. Cooper from he's the general manager at IBM. So we are thrilled to recognize men wherever we can. Go on our website. All the winners are there.
Share the website with our listeners.
The website is www.wct-fct.com.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Now, I always forget to ask a good question. So this is the wrap up. What question have I not asked of you, Joanne, and you, Cheryl, that we should share with the CART.ca listeners?
Well, not a question. Maybe I'll start and then you can have the grand finale, Joanne. Mm-hmm. Just picking up, you asked a question a minute ago when you were talking about representation of Indigenous women, but you mentioned women of color. And I just really want to make sure that that point is on everyone's mind, because we haven't, quote unquote, solved the problem if it's all white women that we're talking about in leadership roles or directing programs or. And that's something that we just spoke about before we came down here to look and see how we could increase maybe mentorship opportunities for young Black women or women of color in general in certain industries in order to see themselves and talk to somebody who might understand some of the unique barriers that they're facing. Because I can't presume to understand adding on additional layers of challenge. And I think that's something we need to pay a lot of attention to.
Joanne?
And to add to that, I guess I would summarize by saying it's a good news, bad news story. The good news is the glass is half full. We have come a long way, but we've got a whole glass full to go. So we still have a long way to go.
Well, thank you very much, Joanne Stanley, Executive Director of Women in Communications and Technology, and Cheryl Fullerton, Executive VP. I love this title, Executive VP, People and Communications. I love it. At Chorus, and a WCT Board Director. I'm Bill Roberts, and this has been a CART.ca podcast. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.